Well, welcome again to week three, week two of You Asked For It. Man, we're loving this series. Back in March last month, we had a survey where you guys asked questions about the Bible and life and all kinds of things. And so this series, this You Asked For It series here in April, the outline for this series is made by you guys, by the questions that you have been asking. Last week, Pastor Eric did an awesome job teaching on the woman question. Wow, if you guys missed last week, go back and listen to the YouTube or the podcast. There's numerous different questions about, is it okay for women to be in leadership within the church, and what's the role of a woman, and is there biblical examples in scripture for the role of women? And so those questions were answered last week. It was so great. Today we're answering, or today's topic is how to hear from God. Another topic that there was numerous questions about was on this topic of how do you hear from God? Questions like, why don't I always hear from or feel close to God? Other questions like, when God speaks to me, how do I know that it is God? These are really excellent, foundational questions that it's good for us to talk about this morning. All morning long, we're going to be talking about how do you hear from God? What do you do when you don't feel his presence or you don't feel close to him? How do you know that it's him and not just your emotions, right? Because God does not want us to live a life of religious exercise. God wants us to live a life of relationship with him, right? God wants us to know him personally. Our mission here, our mission statement here at Alive Family Church is helping people know God personally and live for him passionately. And to know someone personally, you got to recognize their voice. People in your life that you know personally, when they call you on the phone, if you didn't have caller ID and you just heard their voice, you know it's them because you know their voice. God wants that same kind of relationship with us. One of my favorite scriptures is in John 17:3. It says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." This is eternal life. What is eternal life? Knowing God. Knowing God personally. I love how the Amplified translation just gives more words to say the same thing. The woman's translation. I like it. And this is eternal life. It means to know. And then it gives lots of words to explain to know. What does it mean to know? This is eternal life, to be able to perceive, recognize, become acquainted with, and understand you, the only true real God. Is that mind-blowing? As many times as I've read this scripture, as long as I've been knowing God, this still amazes me, that we serve a God that wants to be known and has made it possible for us to know him, to be acquainted with him, to be able to perceive him. To understand him, our creator, our God, who is so much bigger and greater than us. Likewise, to know him, Jesus, as the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, whom you have sent. That's so good. We could just talk about this scripture all morning. I love it. But what this scripture is not saying is eternal life is going to church every Sunday. Nope. Eternal life is serving a lot, or giving a lot, or eternal life is memorizing a lot of scripture. And all these things are good, but that's not what the scripture is saying. The scripture is saying eternal life is knowing God, knowing his voice, perceiving his presence, being aware of what he's doing. And so all morning, we're going to be talking about, okay, how practically do we know his voice? How practically do we know that we're hearing him and not our own voice or emotions or thoughts? So all morning, we're just going to be talking about, how does God speak? How can we hear him? And some really practical things in all of it. So can we pray? And then we'll dive in. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. God, we thank you that you are a speaking God. We thank you that you are not mute, you are not deaf, you can hear and you can speak. And so God, we thank you that you have made it possible for us to have relationship with you, that we can be confident in knowing your voice in the same way that we confidently know our parents and our children's and those voices close to us. So God, we thank you for this time. Help us to leave this morning with strength and confidence in knowing your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to talk about a lot of different ways God speaks. This first one, we're going to camp out for a large time because it's the dominant way that God speaks. Number one, the number one way that God speaks is through his word, the Bible. The dominant, primary way that God is always speaking is through his word. And some of you might be like, wah, wah. Please don't check out. Because honestly, this is the most important part of this morning's message. We're going to talk about dreams and visions and prophetic words and exciting ways that God speaks. But those happen occasionally. If you want to hear God's voice every day, it's through the word. It's through the Bible. It's the primary way that he is speaking to us every single day. It's the primary way he's speaking, and it's the primary way that we know that we're hearing him in all the other ways. I sense that the Holy Spirit is telling me to do this. How do I know if that's God? The Bible. I had this dream, and I'm not sure what it means. How do I know if it's God or what he's saying? The Bible. The Bible is the primary way. It's the plumb line of how we know what God is saying. And reading the Bible, sometimes you can be like, oh, I hear this. You guys talk about this all the time and yada, yada, yada. It's because it's that important. And we're not saying we should read the Bible every day because it makes us religious and we can put notches on our belt, or if you got the Bible reading plan, you can keep your streak going. It's because when we're in the Word every day, we can know him. God answers our prayers specifically through the Word, but even more than that, we can know the mind of Christ by reading the Word. We can know what his preferences are. We can know what his personality is like. We can know how he acts and how he thinks. We can know God as we're in the Word every single day. I was thinking about this as I was preparing. You know, God is kind of like someone on social media who is always posting everything that they're doing. You know where they're at, you know what they're thinking, you know what they're doing. And all you have to do is go to their profile and you know what they're thinking, speaking, or doing, right? God is the same way. If you want to know what God is thinking, saying, or doing, just go to his profile, which is the Word. And it will clearly tell you what he's thinking, saying, and doing. Amen? And so, just pure baseline, like if you don't have a habit of reading your Bible every day and you want to know God more, like that's the biggest takeaway this morning, is getting in the Word every single day, because every single day God has something to tell you. Like every single day he's got revelation for you on your life and how to parent and how to be a good spouse and how to succeed on the job. And God's got like genius stuff. Listen to the Holy Spirit and you'll sound like a genius, because God is a genius and he's got stuff he wants to get to you every single day. And so we have to position ourselves to hear from him. So if you ever come to me and say, God's just not speaking to me lately, my first question would be, when is the last time you read your Bible? Have you been in your Bible every day recently? Not in a religious type of way, but in a hungry kind of way. Like, God, I'm desperate to hear your voice. Because God meets us where our faith is at. I'm not saying open up the Bible religiously. I'm saying to open up the Bible with hunger and expectation. Like, God, I'm desperate to hear from you. I'm desperate to know who you are and what you like and how you move. Amen? So if you don't have a daily habit of Bible reading, like that's the number one thing if you want to hear from God. And so consider, like, when is a time of day every day that you could set a meeting with God? Like it's in the calendar. Maybe it means you wake up 15, 30 minutes early before the kids. Or maybe you're an evening Bible reading person. I found that mornings work good because once the day starts, it carries me away, right? So is there a time every day that you can say, okay, this 30 minutes, this maybe start with 15 minutes, this hour, however long you want to spend with God, is for the Lord, and it's my meeting time with him, and no one else has this time in my calendar. So find a time, find a space. Find a space where you can go and be quiet. For Eric and I, in the mornings, we both wake up at 5 a.m., and I go down to the basement. He's in what we affectionately call the Moose Lodge room in our house. He's in that room. We both spend an hour with the Lord before then he goes to the gym and I'm working out on the treadmill. We have a time and we have a space and the kids aren't up yet. And so it's undistracted. We're in separate levels of the house. We're not talking to each other, looking at each other. Like, it's only our time with the Lord. And so what does that look like for you? Is there a time, is there a place that you can meet with God every day to read the Bible with expectation, to pray and to read the Bible? And then what's your plan? So having a time, having a place, and having a plan. So you get there, and then it's like, you know, Russian roulette, Bible reading, just, okay, wherever I land today. You could do that. God can speak through that way. But it helps to have a plan. Eric and I are both right now going through a Bible reading plan that we started in January, that there's a set scripture to read every day. So when I open up my time, open my Bible, I have scriptures that I'm going to get through the Bible in a year. But maybe, you know, we're a couple months into the new year, maybe you're like, where do I start? A good place to start would be the book of Matthew. Read the book of Matthew all the way through the New Testament and read one chapter of the Bible every day. Be a great place to start. So that is the primary way that God speaks to us, is through the Word. This is what the Bible says about itself in Psalm 119:105. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's word sheds light on the path of our life. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is in discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So the word of God is alive. It's not a normal book. The Bible is a living book. The Bible is forever settled in heaven. The Bible is eternal. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can pierce. The word of God, put it up on the screen one more time. The word of God can divide between soul and spirit. A lot of times you're like, is that my emotions or is that God? Well, the word of God can help you discern that. It can separate soul from spirit. And lastly, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, "All scripture, the whole Bible, is inspired by God, and it's profitable, it's good for doctrine, knowing what is truth, for reproof and for correction, making sure our life is lining up to the ways of God, and for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God, or the woman, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So the word of God transforms us, it equips us to live the life that God has called us to live. Amen? Okay, can we talk about some practical stuff? We're going to camp out on this point just a little bit longer. I'm going to answer two of those specific questions that we were asked in the survey last month. But I just want to say, just practically, like, how practically does God speak to you through the Bible? I just want to say, you know, in the morning when I wake up, usually I go downstairs, take some deep breaths, and just start talking to God about what's on my heart, some questions I have, just have conversations with him, pray for other people and situations. And after I have a time of prayer, then I open up the word with expectation. So, God, I've got lots of things going on in my life, lots of questions in my heart. I need to hear from you. So I open up the word with expectation wherever I'm in my reading plan to read that day. And sometimes there is literally an answer in that passage that I'm reading that day. Sometimes I'm asking, how do I handle this situation in parenting or in marriage or the situation in ministry or leadership? And sometimes there's a scripture that just pops off the page at me. It's like a floodlight. God puts a floodlight on that scripture and it just gives me clarity and direction specifically for that thing I was asking God about that morning. That happens sometimes. I would say it doesn't happen most of the time though. Usually I pray and sometimes it's an immediate answer right in the word. Other times, God's answering that question over days or weeks or months, right? But every time that I open up the Bible with faith and expectation, God is speaking something to me. And maybe it's not an exact answer to that question I had that morning, but it's giving me an understanding of who he is. Something, when I open the Bible, every time I open the Bible, even if I'm in the book of Numbers or Leviticus or something, that you're like, "How God? I don't know how you're going to do it, God, but somehow you're going to speak through Leviticus." Somehow I get a glimpse of his character. Somehow I get a glimpse of what he likes and his preferences and how he has done things in the past. So that means he's doing it in a similar way, in a similar pattern in my life. Always God's speaking and we got to listen, right? And I always have my journal next to me. I'm always writing down my prayers, but I'm writing down scriptures that pop out at me because it's God speaking to me. That's how he speaks. When you read a scripture and it just seems to pop off the page at you, it's God speaking to you. It's the Holy Spirit enlightening that scripture to you. And as we do that, as we become aware of God's character and who he is, knowing him, then you can have confidence in your walk with him. Like, for example, in the natural, all of us have people that we know really well. Out of everyone in my life, I probably know Eric the best out of everyone in my life. We've been married for almost 17 years, dating for 21 years. Like, we know each other pretty good. And I know that if we go to an ice cream shop and he's like parking the car and I've got to order for him and the options are vanilla or chocolate, I can answer that question for him without asking him, chocolate. 100% of the time, I've never seen him choose vanilla over chocolate because I know his character. I know his preferences. I've been around him enough. I've seen him order ice cream enough that I know without even asking him, that's his preference. The same is true in our relationship with God. We can know God so much. We can know his character and his preferences so much that we go to make a decision and we just know this is God's will because I know what he would choose. I know his character. I know his preferences, right? God wants us to know him like that. We know that God is love and he loves when we are selfless in our love. He's truth and he hates lying. We know that he's a God of order. He's a speaking God and so much more. Two more thoughts before we go to other ways that God speaks. I want to answer some of these questions specifically. Someone asked, when God speaks, how do I know that it was him? That's a really good question. You're like, I feel like God is leading me in this way. I feel like this is what he's saying, but how do I know that it's not just the pizza I ate last night? Or how do I know it's not just that Instagram reel that's influencing my decisions? Like, how do I know? Good question. Really good question. Couple of thoughts. First, you got to ask yourself, is what I'm hearing, is what I'm sensing, does it agree with what the Bible says? And so you got to know what the Bible says to be able to discern what God's saying, right? So that's why it's so important to be in the Word every day. For example, maybe you have this sense on the job. You're like, oh man, the company's really doing good and we could do this, this, and this. And there's this little thing that my boss needs to know. But like, I have this sense that maybe I should just kind of like cut the corner a little bit on telling him that whole situation because it's going to be for the greater good of the company. Right? And you're like, God, is that you leading me to do that? Well, you know God's character, and he hates lying, so no, he's not. But that's a lot of times how the enemy will try to get you to do something that it sounds good, but it goes against God's character, right? So is what you're sensing, does it line up with what you know in the Bible? This fall, we did a series called Oh My Soul. We talked about how we are spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. And a lot of times, what can be confusing about hearing from God is that the voice of our soul and our spirit are so close. The voice of our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions. And sometimes it's hard to discern, am I just really happy in my soul about this? Or is this a peace from God in my spirit? How do you separate those feelings? What we just read in Hebrews, the word of God can separate soul and spirit. So discerning and learning to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit within your spirit versus the voice of your emotions, it takes practice, it takes time. We're going to talk about some practicals in that in a minute. But lastly, on this topic of how do I know if it's God, the big thing is, does it line up with the word of God? And we'll talk about the practicals of how to be led by the Holy Spirit in a minute too. But when it comes to big decisions, like taking a new job or moving or like who to marry or where to go to school, or when it comes to big decisions, we always encourage people to have an anchor in the Word. We've always been taught that it's the Word and the Spirit that agree. For example, when Eric and I were discerning God's will, if we were supposed to come back to Brighton to start Alive, the years, bless you. Good way to get blessed. So anyways, a couple of years leading up to that decision of if God was calling us to start Alive, those years leading up, we look back and there was numerous different situations where there was dreams, there was visions, there was prophetic words. There was a lot of things that God was saying outside of his word. But that wasn't enough for us to pick up, sell our house, move our family, start this thing by faith. We needed an anchor of the word because the spirit and the word will agree. And we've always been taught that if you're going to make a big decision and it's a big transition in life or whatever, you want an anchor of the word because it's eventually going to get hard. And eventually you need to have confidence that, oh, that wasn't just my feelings, or that wasn't just, you know, a random dream because I ate pizza the night before. No, like I was sensing it in my spirit and God confirmed it in the word. And so during that time, you know, 7 years ago in January, when we were really like, okay, God, are you calling us to do this? We needed anchors, and our pastors at the time said, you know, let's fast and pray and let's see what the Lord is saying. And they encouraged us to have anchors in the Word, and God was so good to give us numerous anchors in the Word, scriptures in the Word that popped off the page to confirm what we are sensing in our spirit. So I encourage you about that. And anytime we've bought a house, when the church bought this property, we had the anchor of Amos, I will plant you, firmly plant you in your own land, never again to be uprooted. Like, before you make big decisions, it helps not to just have a sense or a prompting of the Holy Spirit or even visions and dreams and prophetic stuff, but to have an anchor of the word. Like, God, is this really what you're saying? Because when the hard times come, you can go back to the word and say, but God, you told me this. Amen. Okay, another question, and then we'll go on to other ways God speaks. Another question is, why don't I always feel close to God? Such a good question. Why don't I always feel close to God? Or why don't I always sense his voice or something like that was the question. Couple of different ways I could answer this. One way that we've kind of already been talking about is, are you seeking the Lord with all of your heart? The book of Jeremiah talks about how when we seek after the Lord with all of our heart, he will be found by us, like we'll find him. And so, are you doing that? Are you talking to God all throughout the day? Are you hungering and thirsting for him? Are you reopening your Bible every day with expectation? Are you praying? Are you seeking his face? Every time the church doors are open, are you here hungry to be in the presence of the Lord? are you doing all the things that the church is providing for you to grow? You know, are you taking the basic classes? Are you in a small group? Are you coming on Sunday nights of prayer and worship? Like, are you like, God, you are my number one priority. I'm seeking you with all of my heart. Because if you do that, God will meet you there, right? But if you're like, yeah, I'm doing that, and I still don't feel as close to God as I did XYZ, or I still don't feel his presence or whatever, if that's your story, then I want to encourage you in this. A lot of times I've seen in our own life that that God's voice can oftentimes be like a GPS. Like, we went down to Tulsa this week to visit family, and so we have lots of experience with GPS stuff over the last couple of days. But the GPS, you know, you plug it in, and the whole time you're driving, the GPS is speaking. It's telling you how many more miles. It's telling you where you are on the map. It's giving you information about your journey. But then when it gets time for a transition, when it's time to exit, or it's time to do a bunch of different turns, the voice of the GPS, especially if you have the volume turned on to hear the person's voice, it becomes much louder and much more dramatic. The GPS is speaking the whole time, but during seasons of transition or exits or times that you really need to be alert to take a turn, you're not going in the same direction anymore, a lot of times God's voice can become more dramatic in those seasons. We've seen that time after time. And so those are some things to consider of, you know, sometimes you're not getting this, like, big dramatic news from the Lord because, like, you're going in the right direction and just keep doing what you're doing and stay faithful. And he's going to share things with you every day as you open up the word, but there's not a big transition coming. So there's not a big announcement to be made in that way. Does that make sense? And then the other thing on that question is sometimes, especially in modern culture, we can be so led by how we feel. Like, I used to get goosebumps during worship and I don't anymore. So, like, is God not as close to me? I remember I went to Spring Arbor University, and that first year, I really grew in my faith. In every single chapel service, I got goosebumps during worship. But then, like, junior, senior, I wasn't getting the goosebumps anymore. But God was still there. How do I know that God was still there? Because the Bible says he's still there. Scripture says that where two or more gather in his name, there he is in the midst of us. And so, in line with this question of why don't I always feel close to God, well, we don't base our beliefs on our feelings. We base our beliefs on the Word of God. And so the Word of God says that when I gather with other believers for worship, for reading the Word, he's there in our midst, whether I feel it or not. Amen. God says that he hears me when I pray. God says that he speaks, he answers. And so whether or not I feel like it or not, it's true, right? We're not moved by what we see, but we're moved by what the word of God says. All right, you guys doing good on that? All right, number two. The number two main way that God speaks is through the promptings of the Holy Spirit in our heart. And so on the daily, God is speaking through his word. And on the daily, God is speaking through the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. Let's take a look at some scriptures. John 16:13, a great chapter in the Bible talking about the Holy Spirit. It says, when the Spirit of truth or the Holy Spirit comes, this is Jesus talking, and the Holy Spirit didn't come as we know it now until after he was died and resurrected. And so Jesus was telling the disciples, hey, when the Holy Spirit comes, it's a Spirit of truth, he's going to guide you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit's going to guide us into truth. It's a Spirit of truth. He's not going to speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he's going to speak. And he, the Holy Spirit, will declare to you things that are to come. The Holy Spirit's going to give you foresight, some knowledge on some things coming down the pike for your life. John 10:27, Jesus also said this. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If you're here this morning, you're like, I don't feel like I can say that confidently. I don't feel like I can confidently say that I hear his voice. This would be a great scripture to confess by faith and say, God, Jesus, I thank you. You say that I hear your voice and that you know me and that I follow you. So God, I confess that. I speak that. God, I thank you that I know your voice. I thank you that I know your voice, not because I feel a certain way, but because your word says that I do. Maybe you just need to tune into his frequency. Romans 8:14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. It's part of what it means to be a believer is to be able to perceive and be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So grateful for the Holy Spirit. I love this scripture in Acts 15. The book of Acts is the story of the early disciples building the church after Jesus was resurrected. And you see numerous times throughout the book of Acts that the disciples made decisions based on this prompting of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times it will use this phrase that you see. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessities that you abstain from things offered to idols. So as the disciples were making decisions about the early church, like how should we behave? Should we eat food that was offered to idols? The way they made that decision was, you know what, it just seems good in our gut to not do that. So what does that mean? Promptings and the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about an audible voice. There's times in scripture that God has spoken with an audible voice. I've never heard it. It's not super common. The primary way that God speaks is through his word and through the voice of the Holy Spirit, which is in our gut, which is in our heart. It's not in our intellect. Our mind is part of our soul. Our spirit is within our gut, and that's the place that the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us. I was talking to one of my kids the other day, and this child was saying, I don't feel like I ever heard God before. And all of our kids are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I told this kid, I said, yes, you have. I've seen your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. This kid looked at me and I said, you know, when you go to do something that you know you shouldn't do and you get that feeling on the inside that it's wrong and you yield to it, that's you listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. The child said, oh, really? I said, yes. And so many other times that I've seen all of our kids, but this kid that I was talking to, I said, yes. And when you have compassion, when your heart breaks and you go over and you talk to this friend who's feeling isolated and you felt this feeling in your gut to go be a help, that's the Holy Spirit. And you're following and you're being led by the Holy Spirit. God's speaking to you. Built this child's confidence so much. So we need to recognize that's the voice of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And that's how the early disciples made decisions. It just seemed good. There's just a peace. It just seemed right to make this decision. When we're in the Word of God and when we're aligning our life to the things of God, we can be confident that we hear his voice. So what are some ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to us? The Holy Spirit will speak to us in our gut by the voice, the prompting of the Holy Spirit, in a warning. I know, I think we've all experienced that before, where you go to do something and you just get this check. You get this red flag in your gut. You get this conviction. The Holy Spirit will convict us of sin, saying that's wrong. The Holy Spirit will not condemn us or make us feel shame for that. That's the job of the devil, the enemy. The Holy Spirit will convict us, give us a check, give us a don't do that, that's wrong. And we need to yield to it. Because if God gives us those promptings and we override it and say, no, I'm going to do it anyways, the voice isn't as strong next time. So the Holy Spirit will lead us through a warning. The Holy Spirit will lead us through peace. Scripture says that peace is our umpire. And so you're trying to discern, God, what do I do? And, you know, in big decisions, the Word and the Spirit agree. But there's a lot of decisions we make throughout the day that we can't be like, okay, hold on a minute. Let me go have some time to read. I need to make sure the Word and the Spirit are agreeing. No, a lot of times you got to just know, you got to be led by it seems good or a peace. Okay, I got to make this decision. I'm not sure what to do. But when I think about making this decision, there's just a peace. There's just a settling. Even though logically it might not make sense, maybe financially it doesn't make sense, maybe even emotionally it doesn't make sense. Like you're really excited about this other thing, but when you consider this way, deep in your gut, there's just a peace. Like it just seems right. That's the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will also, like this scripture said, or actually I didn't read that scripture, but the Holy Spirit will also remind you of things that God has spoken to you. The Holy Spirit will remind you of the Word. So many different times God has done this when I'm praying or I'm thinking about something, thinking on something, you know, with Him. The Holy Spirit will remind me of a phrase from Scripture or remind me of entire scripture, and it's a way that the Holy Spirit reminds us of things that God has spoken to us, leads us, and guides us. So grateful for the Holy Spirit. So some practical stuff on this one, and then we'll keep going. Maybe this is totally for it. I remember when I was new in my journey of faith, since second grade, I've loved the Lord, got baptized as a third grader, have loved God the Father, God the Son, my whole life. And it wasn't until college, like I always knew there was a Holy Spirit, but never knew that I could have a relationship with Him until college. And so I remember the things of the Spirit were like really foreign to me, even though I'd been a believer majority of my childhood, early adolescence. And so I remember this was foreign to me. So maybe you're here this morning and you're like, this is foreign. I don't know if I could ever be confident hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you, you can be. You can know His voice. What does Scripture say? My sheep hear my voice. We can hear God's voice. Amen. But I remember at Bible school, Miss Lynette from Rhema, she would teach on learning how to dial into the frequency of the Holy Spirit in just really practical ways. Like, for example, like at work this week, if you're typing an email, before you press send, ask the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit, am I forgetting something? Should I word this any differently? What's, you know, lead me in this email. And pause and listen to promptings of the Holy Spirit. Super practical one for those of you that shop at Costco. This is an act of faith. When you're looking for a parking spot, Holy Spirit, which aisle should I drive down? No joke, that was the first way Miss Lynette would always teach on that. That was the first way I learned how to be led by the Holy Spirit is that I grew confident in hearing His voice because I say, Lord, which aisle should I go down to park? And I sense a prompting this one. God cares about all of the things of our life, even getting a front row spot at Costco. But it helped me to discern, oh, that was you, because that look at that spot was right there. Little ways that you can dial into the frequency of the Holy Spirit, intentionally entrust things to Him, and then grow in confidence when you're like, oh, wow, that was your voice. That was the Spirit speaking to me. If you're in a parenting situation and you're like, what in the world do I do? Pause in your heart and in your mind and say, Lord, how do I respond to this? Listen to the voice of the Spirit leading and guiding you. At the grocery store and you're like, I know I'm forgetting something. He said He'd bring things to our remembrance. And so, Lord, what item am I forgetting at the grocery store? Maybe you're drafting up a project or a proposal at work. Lord, what am I missing out of this proposal or out of this project? Help me. And the Holy Spirit is our helper in all things. So I encourage you to practice the presence of God. Practice being aware of His voice. Slowing down our life enough to pause and say, God, what are you saying in this situation? Amen? So those are the two primary ways, day by day, moment by moment, that God is speaking, by His Word and by His Spirit. The more we read the Word, the more we will perceive the voice of the Holy Spirit, because the voice of the Holy Spirit sounds like the Word. And you're more confident in hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit when you're confident on knowing God, and the way you know God is by reading His Word. Amen? All right, couple more. God speaks to us in a variety of other ways. The first way I want to mention is dreams and visions. Dreams and visions. Acts 2:17. Eric actually mentioned this scripture last week. Scripture says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." One of the ways that God has always spoke to his people is through dreams and visions. You look back at the time of Joseph in the Old Testament, and God gave a dream to Pharaoh and gave Joseph the ability to interpret the dream. And the dream told them, hey, there's going to be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. And so God was giving them a heads up so that they could prepare for what was to come. We see God gave a dream to Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, preparing him for the birth of Jesus. We see God gave a dream to Nebuchadnezzar and gave Daniel the ability to interpret it, that predicted all of these world events and end time events. In the New Testament, we see Peter, the apostle, was up on the roof and God gave him a vision. And this vision made it clear to him that the gospel was to go to both the Jews and the Gentiles, not just the Jews. We have biblical precedents of God speaking through dreams and visions all the time. So you might be like, how practically is he doing that today? He's still doing that today. And I want to build your faith that God can speak to you in that way. In Eric and I's life, God frequently speaks to me in visions. And it's not like a trance where I get knocked out and can't see. It's just sometimes even during Sunday morning worship, I'm worshiping. And as I'm worshiping, God's painting this picture in my mind of something. And it's giving me encouragement. It's giving me direction. It's giving me clarity on something. In times of prayer, he does the same thing. God speaks to Pastor Eric in dreams a lot. My dreams are usually just whacked out. Like if I had a dream, they're not from God. My dreams are so wacky. I think there's been one time that I had a dream from the Lord, and it was when we were in Kalamazoo and we were overseeing a ministry, and there was some division within some of the students, and I had this dream of one of these students that was on my property, and she was uprooting some of my plants. And then I woke up, and I do feel like that one was from the Lord, and it was an alert that she was stealing some of my fruit, eternal fruit, that was happening in the lives of some students. So God has spoken to me in dreams, but much more frequently in visions. But God has spoken to Eric in dreams frequently at crossroads moments. He gave Eric a vision of where to propose. We were in college, and he had a dream of proposing next to me next to all these twisted trees. Didn't know what it meant. A couple weeks later, his college-age pastor shared that the next mission trip they were going on was to the Middle East and that they'd have a day trip in Jerusalem, and he saw a picture of Mount of Olives had these twisted trees, and he's like, oh, I'm proposing to her on the Mount of Olives. God gave him a dream about that. We were searching for a house and actually in contract in a house up on 59 that we were so excited about back a couple years ago. And I think it was the night before the inspection, Eric had a dream that there was this large tree that fell on the house and felt like it was a warning from the Lord. We go to the inspection, it's lit up, it would not be a wise decision to buy this house. God warned us about it in a dream. And so God speaks in visions and dreams. I remember when we were in Kalamazoo and I was leading a prayer gathering of college-age students for the discipleship program we oversaw, and it was just a time of prayer, and I was leading the prayer gathering, and I don't remember what I was praying about, but it wasn't what the vision was about, but in the midst of praying, God like caught my attention and gave me this vision of Eric and I behind a stage. We were at a church. We were behind this big stage about to walk out on stage together, and the black curtains were shut. And it was this first time, one of the first times God was alerting me. I knew that it was a church that we were pastoring. And at the time, that was not the plan. Like, that was not what I wanted. But it was the first time that God was getting my attention about it. And so God speaks through visions and dreams. So what do you do if you have this image that pops into your mind as you're praying or worshiping? What do you do if you have this dream that you just really sense is from the Lord? Some things you don't do. You don't build a doctrine based on dreams and visions. You don't make rash decisions based on dreams and visions. And you don't elevate dreams and visions above the word. But if you have a vision or a dream and you sense, like, God, is this from you? And what are you saying? Then write it down. If you had a dream, as soon as you wake up and remember it, write it down. Write down all the details of it. If you had some kind of vision, painting image that God painted in your mind, draw it. A lot of my journals have drawings of images, visions that God has given me. Make a record of it. Consider, God, what are you saying through this? Does your word give any light into this image of what you're sharing with me? And then ponder it. Keep it in your heart. Keep it in your mind. Amen? Another way that God speaks is through, number four, God speaks in a variety of other ways. One way is biblical counsel from Christians. Number four, biblical counsel from Christians. Proverbs 11:14, where there's no counsel, the people perish, but in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. God speaks through his people, newsflash. He speaks to us directly by the word and by the Holy Spirit, but God uses his people to speak. And one of the practical ways that he does that is through godly counsel. That's why it's so valuable. It's wonderful to come to church on Sunday mornings. But when you really get into the community, when you start serving, when you start joining a small group and you start being in community with people, it allows for God to speak to you in ways like this in the community of believers through biblical counsel. A biblical reference for this is 1 and 2 Timothy. It's scripture, it's the word of God, but also practically, it is biblical counsel from a seasoned minister to a new pastor, saying, hey, this is God's plan, this is how it worked for me, this is how you minister, this is how you lead God's people. I know in my life, I have benefited from biblical counsel in numerous ways, from pastors and mentors, even podcasts that I listen to of Christian leaders, pastors, that I am discipled receiving biblical counsel from afar. I think we all experience that. But it's priceless. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but you're going to the Lord about, God, how do I do this? Or how do I handle this situation in my marriage or parenting or at work or I'm in leadership, and sometimes God will speak directly out of his word, and sometimes he'll speak through another believer. You'll bring it up at small group, or you'll go to someone you respect in ministry, or you'll find a podcast of a reputable Bible teacher, and you'll hear God's word, his counsel, through that way. So what do? When we sense, oh, wow, a light bulb moment, it all makes sense, hearing God's voice through other believers. Same as dreams and visions. We don't build doctrine on what other Christians say, right? We don't make rash decisions because this one person gave you counsel and it seemed biblical, and so you make a rash decision. No, that's not wise. We don't elevate what other Christians are saying above the word, right? But same with dreams and visions. We consider like, oh, wow, that was a light bulb moment. Write it down. Wow, that was wise. Wow, that was biblical wisdom, counsel. Write it down. Consider what God is saying to you. Is there scripture that backs up what they're saying? And ponder and see how God wants you to apply it. Amen? Another way that God speaks is through, number five, God speaks in a variety of other ways, prophetic words through Christians. Prophetic words through Christians. We see in 1 Corinthians 14:3. But one who prophesies, one who has a prophetic word, strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. Prophetic words are different than words of counsel. Prophetic words are such an encouragement to the body of Christ. And they're different than biblical counsel. So biblical counsel, what we just talked about, is when another Christian, another believer, you're talking to them and that believer says, hey, this is what the word of God says about your situation. This is how I've seen the word of God work in my life in a similar situation. If I were you, I think wisdom would be to do this, right? That's biblical counsel. A prophetic word is very different than that. A prophetic word is when a Christian, a believer, has a strong prompting, a strong impression from the Lord. They probably don't even have a clue of what's going on in your life. But they have this strong prompting from the Lord that they need to speak a phrase or speak a word of encouragement to you, a prophetic utterance from the Lord. And oftentimes they don't even know what it relates to specifically. But they just know, I just feel impressed to speak this to you. And if it means something to you, great. And if not, throw it out. But they feel this impression to speak an utterance to you, an encouragement, a phrase, or exhortation. And a lot of times they don't even know specifically if it's relating to your marriage or your children or your business. But they just sense, I don't know what this is, but I feel like God is wanting me to tell you this. You guys experienced that before? We see that in scripture, all throughout scripture. One example, Agabus, the prophet, speaking a prophetic word over the apostle Paul. I want to just share some examples in Eric and I's life to make it more tangible. There's been so many over the years. And I also want to say, in this category, people can miss it. We have a value around here, no perfect people allowed. We are all imperfect, right? And so when it comes to counsel and prophetic words from other people, we need to understand that God is never going to tell someone else something about our life that he's not already talking to us about. So there's been numerous times in our life where someone has spoken something over us in a prophetic type way or in a counsel type way, and it doesn't bear witness at all. Like, and that's fine. And in the culture of this church, the culture of how we've been raised in the Lord, is that should be fine. If you sense that you have a word to give to someone, you shouldn't approach it in a posture like, I know something that you need to know. It's with humility. I sense that God is impressing me to say this to you, so I want to say it to you. If it bears witness with you, if it's an encouragement to you, awesome. If I'm totally off, no big deal. We're all learning how to hear from God, right? And so just some practical stories of our life, just to kind of make this tangible. When Eric and I were in Kalamazoo, we had a miscarriage in between Ella and Eli. So about 11 years ago, we had a miscarriage. It was devastating. And we were kind of reeling from it. Like, God, what's happening? Where are you in all of this? And I believe it was the next morning after we had this miscarriage. The miscarriage was on Easter Sunday. The next morning, Eric got a text message from one of our close friends at Bible school, who also happens to be on the church board now, and and he just said, hey, I was just having some time with the Lord this morning. And they hadn't talked in months at that point. Like, they weren't talking frequently at that time, and he had no idea that we just miscarried a child. And he said, hey, I was just having some time of prayer in the morning, and God just put me on your heart, and I don't know what's going on in your life, but God just wants you to know that he's with you and he's for you and everything's going to be all right. Oh, it brought so much encouragement. It was God giving him a prophetic word of encouragement. He didn't know what it was about, but it was so encouraging. Like, God, you see us, and you know what's going on, and we don't know all the answers to why this happened, but God, you see us and you're with us. Another story we've shared before, as it relates to God calling us to start Alive. At the time, Eric was a youth pastor in Kalamazoo. We were both doing college age ministry, and Eric was hosting a lead pastor from Texas that flowed in the prophetic, like was very prophetic. And he was hosting him before the youth service, and they were actually shopping at Walmart, kind of having casual conversation earlier in the conversation. As they were driving, this pastor said, hey, you guys had a miscarriage earlier this year, didn't you? And he didn't know, like, it wasn't public. We didn't put on social media. He was flowing in the prophetic just in casual conversation. Ministered to Eric in the car, and then they got to Walmart, and they were still kind of having this conversation, but it was a divine conversation, even though it was casual. And he said, hey, what, you know, you and Eric have been doing college and youth ministry for a while. You're probably not going to do that forever. What do you guys feel like is after this? And Eric said, oh, we don't really know, but we've always had a heart to go back to our hometown and start a church. And he paused what he was doing, and he looked at Eric in a word from the Lord type of way and said, yes, you will do that, and it will be great. And it was an anchor for us, along with all the different ways that God was speaking. We were just in Tulsa visiting Eric's brother and sister-in-law down there, and I was reminded of a prophetic word that was given to him. Numerous years ago, he was on staff at a church in Tulsa as a kids pastor, and in that role, he needed to learn how to do video for their curriculum. And so the pastor at that church asked him to go with him to this big crusade in Africa. And so he went to capture photo and video of this ministry event in Africa called a crusade. And so Matt went with him to this event, and while he's taking pictures and video of the event for the minister, this man of God that was ministering at this event spoke over him, and all he said, he walked by and he said, multi-million dollar media company. And he was flowing in the prophetic. And at that time, Matt didn't own a media company. He was a kids pastor at a local church, but he had a desire in his heart to start a media company. And it was confirmation to what God was already saying. And so now, you know, 7 years later, they have a media company that's thriving and succeeding and well on their way to fulfilling what that man spoke. So encouraging, right? God speaks in lots and lots of different ways. We'll share this, but I wasn't sure if I was going to share it, but just the other couple weeks ago, God's been speaking in lots of different ways. If you guys watched the worship transition video a couple weeks ago, but just a month ago, Eric and I and Jason were in the front office having a meeting, and a man walked in and walked in the door of our office and busted in the door of our office without saying hi or anything, and he said, "Can I speak to the pastor?" And Eric stood up, and this man was like 3 or 4 inches taller than Eric, which I rarely ever see. It's like this 70-year-old man, but he had the body of a 30-year-old, and I was afraid, honestly. I was watching his hand to see if he was going to pull out a gun, because he came in with such authority. And he said, "Can I speak to the pastor?" Eric said yes, shook his hand, and said, "The Lord has heard your prayer, and fresh fire is coming." Walked to leave the room, and we're like, my heart's like pounding. I'm like, oh my gosh, we're all about to die. Like, what's happening? Honestly, like, ready to leap over the table to tackle him, because it was very unusual. He walked to leave the door, and he turned around, and he said, "Fresh fire is coming. Believe for it." Is that what he said? Believe for it? Expect it. Expect it. It's a prophetic word. We don't know. Eric, I'm like, "Rasha, what is he doing?" He left in a Kia car. But it was a prophetic word, whether it was just a believer that felt impressed to come in and share that, or whether it was an angel. It could have been an angel. But it was a prophetic word, and it was such an encouragement and such a confirmation to us of what God's doing. So I want to encourage you. God speaks. These are dramatic ways that he speaks occasionally. Usually in seasons of transition, when you're supposed to get off an exit ramp, or there's things that he needs to make sure you have anchors and confirmations of what he's saying. But he does speak that way. Want to build your faith to be open to when God moves you to maybe give a prophetic word or to receive a prophetic word. Amen? So what do we do when someone gives us a prophetic word or speaks something over us? We don't build doctrine on it. We don't make rash decisions. We don't elevate it above the word of God, right? But what we do is we ask ourselves, does this confirm something that God has already been saying in my heart? Write it down. Ponder what God is saying through it. Don't make a rash decision, but just ponder it. You know, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Mary, scripture says she pondered these things in her heart. When Joseph told the dream to his father, Jacob pondered these things in his heart. So ponder it in your heart. Amen? Last one. God speaks in a variety of other ways. I'm not listing all of them, but one of them is his creation. Anybody see the solar eclipse this week? We went to the totality. We were right in the epicenter of where the 2017 and 24 one hit, and it was crazy. There were people coming from like California and Minnesota to like sit in a stadium and see it in totality. But God speaks through his creation in so many different ways. We see that in Romans 1:20. "For ever since the world was created, people have seen earth and sky, and through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature." So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Psalm 19:1 through 4 says, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they speak." They continue to speak. What speaks? The heavens and the skies. "Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard, yet their message has gone out throughout the earth. Their words all throughout the world." So God speaks through his creation. We can understand the character. What does it say? We can understand God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature through what he made. Not in a wonky, like, tree hugger type of a way. But like in a way, like, for example, there was one time I was at a women's retreat on Lake Michigan having some time of prayer, and I was praying about a lot of different things. And in the midst of that prayer moment, God said, "Look out on the waters. See how vast the waters are. I need you to expand your vision for your life, because look, I'm the God of the waters." He said, "Look up at the sky. Look how vast the sky and the clouds are. I'm the God of the sky." He said, "Look beyond to the universe." You know, he was using his creation to speak of his attributes. God can speak in a lot of different ways. We're not going to all of them, but in the Old Testament, God spoke through a donkey. God speaks through angel visitations, through audible voices. We could go on and on and on, but we serve a speaking God. Amen? Let's go to him with expectation that if we're not hearing him, it's not because he's not speaking. Let's ask ourselves, are we positioning ourselves to hear from him? Primarily through the word of God, right? Are we getting in the Bible every single day? Are we tuned into the frequency of the Holy Spirit? Are we talking to God throughout the day, asking him to lead us and guide us? He leads us, he speaks through visions and dreams, through biblical counsel, through prophetic words, through his creation, and so many other ways. Church, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a speaking God. God, we thank you that we can have relationship with you, that this experience with you is not a religious exercise, but a relationship where we can talk to you and you can talk to us. So God, thank you for speaking to your people. God, I thank you for a hunger for your word, a craving for you in a deeper way in this congregation, in this church. God, we thank you for being intentional to ask you to talk to you throughout the day, tuning into the frequency of the Holy Spirit, learning how to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit in our gut. God, we thank you that you say young men will see visions, old men will dream dreams. We thank you that sons and daughters will prophesy. God, we thank you that you're speaking. Lord, we are listening. We receive all of this in Jesus' name.